T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
One can't help but be positive.
Cam Newton!
The other can't help but be negative.
Bleep you, you bleeping bleepity bleep.
The only thing they seem to agree on is that they can barely agree on anything.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm Andy Hart. I'm not happy about this.
It's sports radio for the passionate fan.
What's up, Nick?
And grumpy dad in all of us.
That is just so stupid.
Fitzy and Hart.
Yes, I've been listening, Andy.
On Boston Sports Original.
I like the way Andy Hart does it.
Might have Nick just take over.
WEEI.
Good Saturday afternoon, sunny Boston, Massachusetts, or Brighton. You know, we'll call it Boston.
Same thing.
That is Chris Scheim. I am Andy Hart. This is Fitzy and Hart with no Fitzy, no problem on a beautiful Easter afternoon. And I got to tell you, I listened to the Baseball Isn't Boring, Bradfo show, whatever amalgamation thing that was coming in. And we're not going to start baseball. I've been watching baseball. I'm not going to lie. The last two nights, I've watched some of the games.
I've been gambling on baseball. Does that count?
I've been gambling. Some of us hit on Tyler O'Neill with a home run for the fifth consecutive opening day, baby.
Same.
Thank
well
you,
done,
Tyler.
Tyler O'Neill.
Some of us didn't hit
yesterday. That's like plus 450, too.
560.
Oh, there you go.
Some of us didn't hit yesterday when I broke an Andy Hart rule of gambling.
Uh-oh.
Don't bet on something you don't like.
Never.
Even if you think it's going to happen,
yeah.
Don't bet on it. And I bet on Trevor Story to get a hit. I don't like Trevor Story. I think he's overpaid. I think he's miscast as like a center of the lineup.
Don't bet on it.
Okay. And he screwed me. He goes 0-for, obviously. I don't win. But we're not going to start with the Boston Red Sox right now. We will touch on the Red Sox. We're here from 3 to 6 p.m. As I said, Fitzy and Hart, 617-779-7937. 37937 on the text line if you want to join the fun. The beauty of Saturday radio is, let's be honest, everything's on the table.
Oh, yeah.
Smorgasbord, buffet.
And everybody's playing today. We got the Celtics at 5, the Bruins at 7. You got NCAA tournament.
Yep.
You have baseball. Like,
you got it all.
Everything. It's the best.
Beauty. Spring is in the air. Oh, the sun is in the sky.
Beautiful day out. Nice walk with the dog.
We are going to talk about, unfortunately, and I'm going to say something that I may only be able to say today.
Uh-oh.
We are definitely going to talk about the upcoming draft as it relates to the only team in Boston with a losing record.
Yep.
Because the Boston Red Sox are 1-1.
500, baby.
For at least a few more hours.
Yeah. Hey.
They are a 500 baseball team.
Keep that pace, they'll hit their over.
The C's, they may have gagged on a couple Hawks this week in various ways, but they're still chugging along towards an Eastern Conference final. And the what are you giggling about?
Nothing.
They gagged on a couple Hawks.
It's what
happened.
Yeah, the Hawks.
They sucked.
They got an advantage. Those darn Hawks.
And the Boston Bruins, stumbling, fumbling, bumbling, good win, bad loss. I don't know where they are, but they're fighting
moving.
For a playoff
They're
going to
be in the
run.
Playoffs.
Oh, they're going to be in the playoffs, and then I'm hoping they at least win a series, and then we'll go from there.
Sure.
But your New England Patriots had a busy week, especially if you were Nancy Meyer, who I think still coordinates their travel down there. The most important person in the organization over the last 40 years who has stayed continually employed by the organization. But they were at Jaden Daniels Pro Day. They got to see his unique elbow, to bring back a phrase from the Chris Sale era in Boston. A little bursa, or a big bursa. Dude's got a big bursa hanging out there.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's a good thing, bad thing. No, I don't like the look of it.
Nope,
I don't like
either.
It. Then they chugged on over, except for one person, to Drake May's Pro Day. Which
sure did.
Drake May and his pro day both seem to be coming, like, polarizing. Like,
yeah,
I have people watching the same guy, the same things, and then telling me he sucked or he was great.
But that's happened for weeks now with him.
Exactly, and I don't get it.
Even prior to the pro day.
What are we doing?
I don't either. And I think it's, I think, you know, you and I have been a part of this draft cycle now for many years together.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe
before it was cool.
Yeah.
Back when we had picks that weren't in the top three and not everybody paid attention for like 5 months.
Exactly. Back when it was still called the Off Day Podcast with Ryan Hannibal. Look at that.
Back when Belichick was still the coach.
Shocker.
When he was a genius even.
But I think the evolution of this draft cycle has gotten to the point where there's so many people talking about the draft that... And for so long, right? We've been doing it since before the Super Bowl even happened. And people kind of just get tired of the same old story. And certain people right. out there decide to conjure up storylines that probably have zero relevance on the actual draft itself. You look at last year's S2 test. Like that was the big thing that came out late in the draft cycle. It's like CJ Stroud, horrible S2 test. He's going to be terrible. You want to know what you don't see this year? The S2 test, because C.J. Stroud was freaking awesome and Bryce Young stunk.
Yes, because sometimes, though, the information is stupid.
Yes.
Or analysis paralysis and all of that. So we are definitely going to talk about Drake May, the New England Patriots, the number three spot. J.J. McCarthy going as high as number two. J.J. McCarthy coming to the Patriots. There's at least one radio host in town. It rhymes with Bo, and he works in the middays at a different station that was a hater for J.J. McCarthy until like a week ago, and now he loves him.
Yeah, pants popped off. I don't care.
I don't know if he got a text, a call, or what, but somebody told him you should probably lighten up. Some information made its way across his brainwaves. So we are going to talk about the NFL draft because, as I know the full-time hosts love to do in this studio, we are 26 days. 4 hours, 52 minutes, and 35 seconds away from the 2024 NFL draft.
You may be impressed that he knew that, but there's a timer literally in our studio. It's
been up there the whole time. And
it's been
up
there for like 40 days.
It is mildly amazing that we still are basically 4 weeks away from the NFL draft.
Wild.
On draft night, by the way, the Rich Keefe WEEI Draft Night Extravaganza, where you will hear myself, Jumbo Hart, you'll hear Chris Schein, you will hear, obviously, Rich Keefe, his name's on it for now. I don't know how things work. I read stuff on the internet, and I don't know where to go with it.
Don't believe everything you read on the internet.
And Nick Fitzy Stevens. We'll probably have Mike Cadlick and others, but that's going to be a hell of a show on April 25th. But that's not where I want to start. I'm going to start, believe it or not, as much as I bust Fitzy's balls, he actually has a good idea when we do these Fitzy and Hart shows, on the weekend in particular.
Yep.
And he asks a very simple question as it relates to Boston Sports Talk Radio, Boston sports in general, sometimes the sports world in general. It's very simple. We are on the eve of Easter and whatever. It's the end of the week. New beginnings tomorrow.
Of course.
Go get your eggs, candy, whatever it may be. Easter brunch. Who won the week in Boston sports?
This week?
Who won the week? And I'll give you examples. I've used teams. I've used players. Sometimes it's obvious. Like, you know, a guy, you know, maybe a starting pitcher for the Sox has two starts and he goes like a combined 12 innings, two wins, something like that. Or it could be a little deeper, a little more sort of, you know, conspiracy theory. Could be anything. So from a Boston sports perspective, everything that went on with the four teams, the Hawk gagging and the Drake Maying and the whole thing, Chris Schein, who won the week?
I can't believe I'm going to say this. It's the Boston Red Sox.
What?
The Boston Red Sox won the week.
Wait.
They won on opening day. Tyler O'Neill.
I thought they weren't trying
to win. Yeah, you'd think. And Tyler O'Neill hits that opening day dinger, makes it 5 years in a row. That's a record, right? Like, it's weird to say it, but between the Hawks games with the Celtics, the Bruins kind of sad loss to Tampa, they did eke out a win versus Florida, which was good, but it's kind of a 50-50 week there. The Patriots have just been coasting along the bottom of the barrel for a while now, but you look at the Sox opening day win, Nick Pivetta last night, even though they lost, Nick Pivetta was awesome last night, had 10 strikeouts in that performance. So I look at it and there's at least a little bit of pop with the Sox this week. There hasn't been a pop with anybody else this week, so I will give it to the Boston Red Sox. They won the week.
I don't totally disagree because I don't know whether it's the play Tessie boys, if it's baseball isn't boring Bradfoe, if it's that. And I don't know if they're doing it on their own or at the push from the team. Whatever. I think they've actually done a good job of creating a little interest. A little fun with the Boston Red Sox from last week. I mean, I know we're playing up Jake Peavy. He went in there for MLB Network, and he was like, that's the greatest clubhouse I've ever seen. I haven't seen chemistry like that in 100 years and all that. Okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Whatever.
Two games.
They didn't score a run last night in the second game of the year. Because why? Because Devers apparently got hurt by a pitching machine. Oh. We can get into that a little bit later. But no, there is a little bit of hope. I actually watched the game the other night, the opening with one of my son's friends, a high school baseball player, and he was like legitimately enjoying it. Like, he was up and happy, and he's a bit of an old soul, which might explain some things.
Sure, but
he still enjoyed it, and I do think there's a little... Rich Keefe and I on Thursday night, we're going lineup comparing the opening day lineup, just the opening day lineup, to opening day lineups from the last 30 years, and I was like, well, you know what? This lineup's not that bad when you compare it to some of the lineups along the way in the 90s and different eras or whatever. Missing some star power, obviously, because more often than not, they had more stars than they have now. But it is what it is. So I agree with you. I am going to go with a different person. Actually, I'm going to go with a team, an entity.
Okay.
I'm going to go with my former boss, Robert K. Kraft.
You think he's a winner this week?
I think he's a winner this week.
I'm curious to hear this.
Because I think he's going to get what he wants. He said it quite clear. He wants a young stud quarterback, and he and I share a brain on that. I don't know if people are really openly admitting on the radio that they share a brain with Robert Kraft. He seems like he's been getting a lot of criticism lately.
Yep.
I share a brain with him. I'm a simpleton. I just want a quarterback, and I think he's going to get a quarterback. I think he's going to get Drake May, and I think we should all be happy. And that feels like a win to me right now for Robert Kraft and his football team.
So I get that. I get that perspective. I am cautiously optimistic because I, too.
So it's the Red Sox. It's the same thing.
I, too, want Drake May. Like, I would love Drake May. I am not convinced, like you are, that they're actually going to take a quarterback.
Oh, they're taking a damn quarterback.
Don't
do that to me.
No. I am still.
I got 26 days. I need hope.
Yeah, when Minnesota comes a knock-in with 11-23, another first and another pick, like, they're going to listen.
Pound sand.
And, yeah, I know.
I know there's no sand in those lakes of Minnesota, but pound it.
I know you say that, but it's really going to come down to how much control Robert Kraft really has. Because if he's speaking the truth, then again, he also said, go sign Lamar Jackson last offseason. They didn't do that.
He was back in a different era.
He can say he wants a young stud quarterback. I won't believe it until they do it. Because as of right now, I believe he has total control. What he says goes. And if on draft day he sees the load of picks and Elliott Wolf goes, Robert, this is a good deal, Kraft is going to take it.
Wolf, what do you know? You're not even the GM. But you're the director of scouting. But that's pipe down over there.
That's why he just presents it to him and Robert Kraft says yes or no. And so that's why I'm concerned. I don't believe anything that Robert Kraft's telling me. To me right now, he feels like a used car salesman and I don't love it.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a harsh description.
He's trying to tell you what you want to hear.
But do you not believe it?
No, I don't.
You don't believe Robert Kraft wants a young quarterback?
I believe he wants a quarterback. I don't believe it needs to be a young guy.
Well, if he's not young, then what is he?
Well, I believe that he's okay with not being good this year and being better next year.
Well, that's good because they're not going to be good this year.
No, I know they're not.
Gerard Mayo lied to you, and people fixated on the burn some cash comment. Yeah. He also guaranteed they were going to win more games.
I don't think they are.
Gerard, I wouldn't be making that guarantee.
Las Vegas doesn't believe they are either because the over-under set at 4.5.
Yes! Gerard, I mean, ease off the comments and the definitives. And like,
I like just love the persona, love the personality, but I agree. Gerard needs to dial it back just a hair.
But I do believe that it's all falling in place for Drake May.
God, I would be so happy. If Drake May is a Patriot, you will not hear me complain one iota.
Until what day?
Nope.
Oh, you're so full of crap.
You will.
So full of crap. By October, you'll be bitching.
Yeah, maybe about other things, but not about the quarterback.
Every morning.
Not about the draft.
There is no chance you stay positive throughout a 0-4 start or a 1-6 start or anything like that.
Drake May is the quarterback. I will be positive.
What if he throws 12 picks in the first month?
Yeah, Peyton Manning threw 26 in his rookie year. It's okay.
I hope I hear this optimism on the Greg Hill show every morning.
Like I said, if
don't be broken down by others either.
No. It's only Drake May. That's the only way I'd be like this. If it's Jaden Daniels, I won't be like this. If it's J.J. McCarthy, I certainly won't be like this. Like, it's Drake May or bust for me. That's it.
Or it could be Drake May a bust. But, you know, we don't want to go down that road.
It's
a possibility. You have to leave that option
open.
It's always he's an NFL quarterback, draft pick, high.
But if I had to set a percentage, I'd go 85-15.
I like your percentages. So we are kicking off this edition of Fitzy and Hart on a sunny Saturday afternoon from 3 to 6 here on WEEI, talking Patriots, talking draft, talking Drake May, a couple days after his pro day, which was a bit polarizing. Mm-hmm. I wish I had been there with my own eyes because I don't trust anybody else's eyes because I got people telling me his ball placement was terrible. I got people putting on a loop. He overthrows one out and people putting it on a loop like he can't throw a football.
So speaking of this, can I ask you a question that you can answer on the other side
A teaser.
Yeah, a little teaser
question.
This guy's
a big-time radio guy.
Do you care about pro days? Do pro days really matter to you?
You're speaking my language. And we will answer that question and much more. 617-779-7937 on the other side of a tremendous trending.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, we're right back to it. Bitsy and Hart on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Back here on Fitzy and Hart, no Fitzy, no problem, Saturday afternoon. Chris Scheimtime Scheim.
Hello.
You're used to hearing him actually on Saturday mornings, but also Monday to Friday mornings at 6 a.m. with his big leads. And he promises none of those, is it a big lead or just lead?
Just the leads.
The lead. His lead, he promises, will not be negative in the next 6 to 8 months about the Patriots regarding the quarterback situation if they take Drake May, number
Correct.
Three overall, or hell, if they want to trade up and get him earlier than that, I'm open to that idea.
Yeah, sure.
If you pinpoint him as your dude, because I know you were very on the opposite end of the spectrum argument when Mac Jones was drafted. Like, mm-hmm. if you really wanted him, why'd you just sit there and kind of hope that he came to you? Well, that's because he wasn't that good, and Bill knew that he probably wouldn't go anywhere else once he got by three where
should've
the Niners wanted him.
Should have gone in the second round just like Will Levis, which we called last year, so good job by us.
And just like some of the, like the J.J. McCarthy thing, I think there is some Mac Jones to him in that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wait, this guy's now good? Or Daniel Jones, even. Mac Jones, Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Like, these guys are pretty good. I might like him as a developmental. He's going how high? He's going in the top what picks?
So, like, if I told you J.J. McCarthy got taken at 26, just like Jordan Love,
yeah,
no issues.
No, especially if it's like Jordan Love and it's a team that says he's my quarterback in 2 years.
Yeah, so, exactly.
100%. But if you go in the top three, five, if he goes number two overall like to the Commanders?
The Rams trade down from, I think they're 19, they trade down to 26 and take J.J. McCarthy.
Love it.
Same.
That would be, that's a good one right there. I don't know if that's a Scheim original
that's
or you
Scheim
stole
original.
That.
Nope, that's a Scheim
that
original.
That is a perfect spot for him.
Yeah.
The coach, the aging stud quarterback who you can then transition to, like, that's a good idea. But we are not talking about J.J. McCarthy. That we'll leave that for another midday host in town who's pumping his tires of late. We are talking about Drake May, Pro Day, the Patriots, taking a quarterback at number three overall, 617-779-7937. We are going to go to the callers because if you wait, we will go to you. And Tyler in Littleton is our first caller of the program. Welcome aboard, Tyler. What do you got today?
Hey, guys, happy Saturday, and Scheim, thanks for coming to work today, bud.
My pleasure, anytime. Job. Thank you, I appreciate that.
No doubt, man. I'm with you on Kraft. I'm not buying anything that he's selling, and the specific thing that I'm tired of hearing from Bob Kraft is, quotes, as a fan. He's meddled enough in football operations that me, truly, as a fan, I'm not buying it whenever he starts a sentence with, as a fan. I'm all set with that, so I don't trust it, and I feel like you're on the same wavelength, so I'll hang up and let you guys talk about it.
Yeah,
all right,
I think,
thanks for the call, Tyler.
I think he kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, to me, I look at Bob Kraft, and I don't think he wants to be recognized like this, but I just view him, I'm starting to view him the same way I view Jerry Jones. It's like he's just very involved. He doesn't want you to believe he's as involved as he is, but he is very involved. He just continually tries to tell you he's not, right? So Jerry Jones fully admits that he's in charge of football. He wants to go get a guy because he loves him. That's fine.
Right. My team, my decisions.
Robert Kraft really decides he loves a guy, wants to go get him, but says, you know, as a fan, I really hope we have a young star quarterback. And Gerard and Elliott are going to get a collaborative effort in making these decisions and signing free agents, when in reality, it's actually him doing all the decision making. And so I think that's starting to really aggravate a lot of fans.
So it's funny you bring that up. I want to bring another layer to this conversation. The elephant in the room, so to speak, and it's not me as a Tufts Jumbo. It's a name that isn't Robert Kraft, but is very similar in that name. And Mike Lombardi, who knows a little something about the Patriots, worked there for a few years as Bill Belichick's right-hand man, may or may not have an axe to grind, may or may not have biases toward the former head coach, especially coming off the dynasty. But we know Michael Lombardi likes to talk. He has his own podcast, the GM Shuffle, and he had some interesting comments about how the Patriots are being run these days.
Patriots, by the way, open for business is what I've been reading about. As we said, the Gerard Mayo said, hey, we might trade
but
down.
But then
we might
as a fan...
There.
As a fan, Robert's hoping that they draft a quarterback. Well, he knows what they're doing. I mean, you know, like Shaughnessy wrote, everybody knows that Jonathan is the de facto general manager, which is, again, and I'll say this clearly, his right. They own the team. They can do anything they want to do. But, you know, you're hiding behind it. And I hope Elliott does a wonderful job because I love Elliott.
So that is Michael Lombardi on his GM Shuffle podcast. I forget his co-host name, but great job. Do a fine job over there. But Michael Lombardi claiming that Jonathan Kraft is the de facto GM actually gives Dan Shaughnessy credit for the idea. And this has certainly been a lightning rod talking point this offseason. What is Jonathan's role? What does he do? Oh, wait. He's going to be at the press conference to announce Mayo, but then he had like an emergency with one of the other companies. Couldn't be there. What is his amount of power? Because it ties into Robert being a little older. Robert, is he day-to-day running the Patriots? I mean, some people really bristled when Robert said he didn't know they didn't have daycare. I actually think that was a sign that Jonathan Kraft runs the Patriots, and Robert doesn't know all those little minutia details of his team because Robert is at the Grammys and the Oscars and the Meek Mill and the shop and the this, and he's living the West Coast or South Florida life and doesn't always have that information anymore. There was a time where Robert was at the office every day. I don't think that's true anymore. I think Jonathan runs the Patriots on a daily basis. But my question to you is, are you of the belief, like Michael Lombardi, that Jonathan Kraft knows what they're doing? Because Jonathan Kraft, in the end, is the one making the pick at number three or trade or whatever.
Well, so I guess I should amend prior statements then and really refer to it as the Krafts, because I think they both know. I think you're not giving Robert enough credit. I think it was probably his idea to spend $50 million on a new workout facility as a way to, oh, look over here, building new workout facility, didn't sign any free agents. Don't worry, building a new workout facility. Like he is, as we call him on the morning show, Robert Houdini. Bobby Houdini, he pulls magic tricks. It's a sleight of hand.
Yep.
It's, hey, don't look at that. Look over here. Over here. Look what we're doing with this. And I think that's more of what Robert does, and he plays the sleight of hand tricks, whereas Jonathan may, in fact, be doing the actual minutiae of the day-to-day operations, but I think Robert is still very much involved. Like, he probably calls his dad and be like, Dad, we're doing this. And Robert says, okay, let's also do this.
Well, I think this is – I just want to say, this is me just perceiving things from afar.
Yeah.
This is not inside trader info, anything. I think that something like daycare or those decisions, I think those are beneath Robert at this point.
Fair.
I think Robert would be involved with something he brought up unasked last week, Calvin Ridley. He brought up Calvin Ridley, and then he rambled all over the map.
Well, his girlfriend wanted to live in the South.
Yeah.
Again, Bobby Houdini. Oh, yeah, no, we offered him a contract.
Right.
We wanted to pay him, but, his girlfriend wanted to live in the South. Beat that.
We were willing to go higher. Well, I mean.
Why didn't you?
Did you go higher? Because what does willing to go higher mean? If they don't know you're willing to go higher, then you're not willing to go higher. Right.
Yeah.
And then he threw out the quarterback situation at the end, kind of jammed that into the end of that very strange press conference he had last week at
Super
the owners'
strange.
Meetings. But the Jonathan aspect of this, I do find fascinating, a word we overuse in radio.
Sure.
What is the transition like there in terms of power day to day? And that's double. That's from Robert to Jonathan, but also this transition of the team from Bill to Mayo and Wolf and Groh. Robert really added Matt Groh back into the mix
during his
comments this week, which I found interesting because I had sort of been led to believe that Elliot Wolf's the GM. He's going to be the GM. They'll do whatever they do after the draft with some interviews that keep them safe from the Rooney Rule and all that, even though Gerard slipped up last week and was like, you know, when we hired Elliot as the GM, I mean, the whatever job he does these days kind of thing, director, scouting, nobody write that down, what I just said. Let's scratch that from the record. So adding Jonathan to the lair of this, I think they all want a quarterback, and I think it's very simple. Me personally, I think they need a splash. I think they need, and I beat this drum dead, I think they need a jersey to sell. And it sounds stupid. I think on April 25th at 9:30 p.m., they need the splash page on Patriots.com to be pre-order your Drake May jersey for $129.95 now. I think they don't have star power. They don't have buzz. And I think they're going down a road of, we're going to suck. We know it. And we're trying to do the build the right way thing. But we need the flashy object to keep people interested because
I don't know that they care.
Oh, I think they absolutely care. But I think they care more than you could ever know or
think. Did they have a flashy object last year?
Yeah, Bill Belichick. They thought they were going to win. They had the GOAT coach. And the flashy object, you know what he left them with? 30,000 people at the season finale of a losing last place season. I firmly believe that they will do we need to win the back page of the newspapers, even though there's not many newspapers and even less back pages now.
But, like, what's a splash your name? If that's the case, right, if they are just desperate, salivating for a flashy name, when you think about it, isn't Marvin Harrison Jr. flashier?
I mean, you can make that argument, but it's a dangerous game to play. If you do sure. Drake May, you get the flashy name. And you're swinging or you're biting at the apple of a franchise quarterback. You could be wrong.
Yeah, that's the issue.
But if you take Marvin Harrison, you're guaranteed the flashy wide receiver, which is flashy.
Yep.
You could put Harrison on the
you're gonna get,
splash
you're going to sell a lot of Harrison Jr. Jerseys.
Right. And then you will have to give them back when he asks for a trade in 2 years because the team has no quarterback and you blow. There's no upside there. The upside with May is obvious. The downside is also obvious.
Them,
Gerard Mayo told me that.
But for them, so here's the other thing, okay? So for them, if they're thinking long term, but also getting splashy, Marvin Harrison is the better option because you can theoretically address the quarterback position in the following offseason. There is a certain guy who is going to be a certain unrestricted free agent that some people believe is really good. Some people don't believe. I think you fall more on the don't believe he's very good line. A guy like Dak Prescott is going to be available next offseason. Like, it is clear that him and the Cowboys are not going to get a contract done. He is going to play out the season.
We'll see.
He is going to play out.
Because their dead number is ridiculous. The Cowboys are toast if they don't re-sign
Dak. And do you want to know what the Patriots have? A crap load of money.
No.
That they can use on a contract that is front loaded. And I heard Nick Wright talk about this, and it's the first time I actually kind of agreed with something Nick Wright said, which was made me
the ironically named Nick Wright.
Yeah, he talked about how, like, you know, the Patriots are going to have more than $200 million in cap space next year.
I don't know if that's right. I was told it was closer to 150, and that's just because they haven't signed. They have no players.
Sure, but regardless of the fact, they have so much cap space that you can front load a contract for a guy like Dak Prescott, where you pay him, your debt money is like $75-80 million in that first year, but then as the years go on, that number just keeps going down.
It's what they should have done with Calvin Ridley.
100%.
I've said that all along. I don't even like Ridley. All you do is you front load the contract, so when you know you're going to cut him after a disappointing couple years, there's no, like, back end ramifications.
As much as we hate on Jerry Jones, that is his specialty. You look at the Zeke contract he gave out years ago, 5 years. No, that's really a 3-year deal. Like, that's what you do with really good players is you front load it, give them a crap load of money, because then in the end years, they're cheap as dirt.
Right.
And so the Patriots would have the ability to do that next year, and then you get a splash guaranteed this year in a guy like Marvin Harrison, and then their splash in a guy like Dak Prescott next offseason.
I don't like the taste of that idea.
I get it. Neither do I. I would rather a young quarterback. I'm just saying.
Dak is not him.
I don't believe that they are fully convinced on drafting a quarterback at 3.
I still
believe it. Andy, I'm sorry. You know how much I love Drake May. You know I would sell the house to draft him. And that's why it's...
Where are you going to live?
It's metaphorical. Oh. I would throw everything but the kitchen sink at him, Andy.
So let's be happy. Let's pretend that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not going to fool myself because I'm not going to get overly excited. And then on draft day, the New England Patriots have traded the 3rd overall pick to the Minnesota Vikings.
I don't want that. 617-779-7937. So I like Drake May. Shime loves Drake May. Robert Kraft may or may not like Drake May. And Gerard Mayo definitely talked him up a little bit the other day. We have a caller, Pete in the car, who doesn't seem to be quite as high on Drake May as the rest of us. What's up, Pete?
Hey, boys. Loving the show this afternoon. So it's not necessarily whether Drake May can be a good quarterback or not, but he's a trap. And the trap is, clearly, he's still pretty raw and needs at least one season on the bench, maybe two. And I want to hear this radio show in October when the Patriots have gone out the gate 0-7, getting curb stomped based on their schedule and the quality of the team. Like, how patient you're going to be with Drake May? Because we know that's the way you set these quarterbacks up to be crumpled up and thrown in the trash bin a couple years later. You just can't have the patience.
Pete, can I ask you why you believe Drake May is raw and needs time to sit on the bench?
I looked at the consensus. One guy I really follow is Kurt Benkert, who's a former quarterback in the league for the Packers.
Oh, Kurt Benkert, the former Packers. Yeah, yep. Okay.
Yeah, so I think he's just really honest. And if you read his review on him, he's like, hey, I think the guy can be really great, but like, there's fundamentals in footwork. There's decision-making. There's some mechanics things. And most quarterbacks need time. And I'm a big believer in giving them time. But of all the quarterbacks, and McCarthy's maybe in the same book a little bit, but if you go Drake May, great, but just resisting the temptation will be so difficult across the board. And that's what I worry about, is that you're going to ruin the guy, because you're going to put him out and let him get shelled for the rest of the season. And then maybe there's a quarterback change or an offensive coordinator change, and then all of a sudden you're drafting another quarterback 3 years from now.
All right. Thanks for the call, Pete. So there is always a downside.
Sure.
Everything in life. And I'll acknowledge there are plenty of quarterbacks that I think I've advocated for forced redshirting of QBs.
Yeah, for a while now. You and I had this discussion, I think, the last time we were on the air together.
I think it's in the best interest of everybody. The league as a whole, franchises as a whole, long-term contract, everything.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen.
No.
It's just not the reality of the situation. And I'm glad you pushed back. I personally believe you will not fail with Drake May because you play him. You'll fail because he's not as good as you thought he was. If he is him, you brought up the idea earlier, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air, Peyton Manning.
You
throw 28 interceptions.
Yep.
Yeah. He seemed to do okay for himself.
He did great.
Did he break? You know why? Because he's Peyton effing Manning.
Exactly.
And you know who breaks? Mac Jones. You know who I firmly believe? If Josh McDaniels had stayed, I think you would have delayed your realization that Mac Jones was breakable. I don't know when it would have come.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it would have exactly come, but I think eventually you would have realized when the going gets tough.
It might have been more precipitous too.
And that's the reality. And this is a very vague thing, but I believe if you are special, like, could Joe Burrow have broken by playing and then tearing an ACL and being set back? Of course he could have. You know why he didn't? Because he's Joe effing Burrow.
And I look at a guy like Drake May.
I'm just going to keep saying that like it means something.
I'm
Andy effing Hart.
It's an interesting point that you bring up, like just the mental makeup. And I try to look at what is around them and how they've grown up and how they have become where they are, right? Mac Jones was just kind of Mac Jones. It coasted in and is from Jacksonville. He was a young model at times as a kid.
Yeah. Adversity? No.
No. Drake May, however, grew up in a family of athletes where his father was an athlete at UNC. His brother was a national champion baseball pitcher at Florida. His brother was on a national title contending team at UNC. His other brother is currently on the UNC basketball team. He has been competing his entire life. Just like, and this, I'm not comparing Drake May to Tom Brady. Don't take this as that. Just like as Tom Brady always says, like, my sisters were better athletes than I was.
Right.
Competing your entire life matter. Like, I think those little things, those little anecdotes from people's past should matter in the evaluation process, because I know that there has been adversity in his life before. He has faced people who are bigger and stronger and older than him, and at time and time again, he's come up. He hasn't lost confidence, and now all of a sudden, he's the starting quarterback at UNC and should be the number two prospect in the draft.
And a two-year starting quarterback at UNC, and that's something I want to push back at. A guy on Twitter I was kind of going back and forth with earlier today was like, hey,
you see that NC State game? It wasn't very good. Only Tom Curran keeps bringing that one up.
Did you see Caleb Williams against Notre Dame? Because if one game blows your career and your opportunity, then he's going in like the third round because he couldn't have sucked more. Guess what? And he's like, Jaden Daniels didn't have a game like that. Jaden Daniels went to the field with the best two receivers. Some people think Neighbors is the best receiver in the draft.
Yeah.
And Brian Thomas is going to go in the first round. So he went with to like maybe the first and third.
I think Brian Thomas might end up being better than Malik Neighbors.
You and I share a brain.
I love Brian Thomas.
Neighbors is overrated and Thomas is underrated. And I don't know how that happened. But my point is, Drake May had a better year last year. Then he had some adversity this year with personnel and scheme and everything around him. I take that as a positive.
Yeah.
I think we've learned from the Mitchell Trubisky's and the Zach Wilson's, like, the one-year wonders can be challenging.
Mac Jones.
Absolutely. When by the way, you also had really good talent. Like
that, a Heisman-winning receiver. My point, it's always like my point, like, what other quarterback have we ever drafted that we've been so excited about where his receiver won the Heisman and he didn't? It doesn't happen.
Right.
The quarterback always wins. And when you look at Drake May, sure, you can point out the NC State game. I encourage you then, go watch the Virginia game. He also lost that game. He threw the ball 48 times for 347 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. It might be one of my favorite Drake May games to watch. Because, yes, there's mistakes. Mistakes are going to happen. Every quarterback makes mistakes. Every quarterback makes a couple bad decisions. But when you watch some of the actual throws that this guy's making under pressure, on the move, he is exceptional. Like, it's hard to put into words sometimes when I watch Drake May just how good he is. The way he throws the football, the way it pops off his hands, his decision making, his ball placement, all of it. And so, like, and that's me talking about a game in which he lost and only completed just over 50% of his passes. So, or exactly 50% of his passes. So, like, I encourage you. Yeah, there's going to be a bad game every once in a while. That happens. You face tough teams. You're going to face tougher defenses in the NFL. You're going to have a bad game. It's how you rebound from those games and how you play on a more consistent and overall basis. You can't just pick out one game and decide that's that guy's career.
And, Pete, when we come back from the break, I will respond to your idea, which Dan Orlovsky and others have promoted, of Drake May being raw, Drake May needing to sit for 1 or 2 years. I'll give you a counterpoint, counterexample of someone they said that about, that it didn't happen and it didn't need to happen, and now he's one of the best damn quarterbacks in football. 617-779-7937. We are Fitzy and Hart. No Fitzy, no problem. A Chris Scheim Saturday afternoon. Woo! Talking Drake May, Patriots, NFL draft. Talking with you. 37937 on the text line. Back after this.
WEEI. We are right back to Fitzy and Hart.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Yes, this is in reference to everybody's favorite meme on the internet for Drake May.
Yeah.
So this is NSYNC?
NSYNC, yes.
When Justin Timberlake was there, when they were a thing. All right, what are we doing over here? I know you're skinny now, but you're not boy band skinny quite yet.
No, but I grew up.
You got leather pants you're going to put on too?
Don't tempt me. I might get to that point.
No one needs to see that. I don't care how damn
skinny
you are.
I got to tell you, though, I am a fan of, like, the skinny jeans. Like, they feel great.
Did you clip that? They may want to use that on the morning show in perpetuity. That was clean, too.
I'm bigger into the joggers right now. Love a good pair of joggers.
Oh, yeah. I've evolved into those, too.
Especially, the dress joggers, which are nice. They look really good with a polo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure that's really a thing. It's a thing we've done, but, like...
Oh, no, like, it's a thing.
I don't know what it should be, though.
It is.
It's a thing, but should it be?
Yes, I think so. It's golf attire. It's good.
It's like sneakers. It's like hoodies on TV, these guys that put the jacket over the hoodie.
Like the Roback hoodies.
What are we doing?
I love, like, the business casual. Like, that's just, it's a nice, it's comfort, but it also looks pretty, like, halfway decent.
At a party in the, what is it? Business in the front, party in the back. You're like a mullet.
Yeah, I'm like a mullet.
617-779. That's another good one. You don't want to save me. He's like a mullet.
I'm like a mullet.
617-779-7937.
I am a fan of, like, the skinny jeans. Like, they feel great. I do. I am.
Send that to Chris Curtis and Wiggy and Greg Hill and Courtney. They will enjoy that.
That's fine. You clearly missed some of the stuff we talked about this week.
I didn't get up as early as you.
True. Fair. There was a lot of sexual talk we can get.
Yeah, we don't need to do that. It's the weekend. We got children listening.
We got
Come on.
Football to talk
we
about.
We got football and Drake May to talk about. And we are going to talk about it with you, the caller. And we're going to David in Florida to talk about what is going on in Boston sports right now. What's going on this afternoon, David?
Good afternoon, boys. How are we doing today?
Tremendous.
I got two things for you. First, a quick, simple thing. With the Red Sox, you got Duran and Rafaela, but basically the same player, same skill set, same player. And you said we need pitching, obviously. Wouldn't you be better off just getting rid of one of them in a big deal and trying to lure a big pitcher with them? I mean,
yes,
they're the same player.
They'd be better off with a big pitcher. I don't care how they get it,
they need
trade.
Desperately.
I'm certainly not sold that either of those guys are like foundational pieces that can't be moved.
I would be totally okay if they dealt Jalen or Duran tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know what Rafael is going to be. I'd like to see him for a while. I am intrigued by this idea, and I'll let you go to point number two, David. I listened to, obviously, the award-winning Red Sox pregame show with Rich Keefe on Thursday night when I was driving home from the station. And Alex Cora was talking about some of these young athletes, some of the versatility, and how he was excited to move guys around. Like, I got Bobby Dalbec who can play third and first and short, and I got Rafaela that I can move all over the place. And these athletes, I'm a little bit intrigued to see this almost like high school, little league baseball style lineups and maneuvering of athletes. And yeah, you can put, and we're seeing it across baseball. Mookie Betts is a center fielder. He's a second baseman again. He's a shortstop again.
We're seeing it across all sports.
Right.
And like in basketball, guys can play the two, the three, the four, the five.
You're seeing it
in football defenses. You can play safety. You can play linebacker. Right. You can play corner.
We're going back to the old days when you were in little league or high school and your best athlete just was on the field and making plays for you somewhere. Like, use him where you need him. David, point number two for you.
Point number two, just doom and gloom. I mean, this is just the darkest period in my 53 years here for Boston sports. Kung Fu Missoula is just a lunatic, and it just concerns me. I mean, I think the Patriots are the closest to recovering because, I mean, I don't think they're as bad as the record indicated last year. They were very close. I mean, a majority of the games were decided by one score or less.
That's NFL
and
football.
I think the Patriots. Yeah, but it is very bad times, but I think the Patriots are the closest to bouncing back. And
did you say you don't like Joe Mazzulla? Did you start this rant about the dark ages?
Mazzulla.
Yeah.
He's part of the dark
Mazzulla
ages?
Is a lunatic. He is a lunatic.
He's also leading the favorite for the NBA title. I mean, and you got Gerard Mayo leading the team. David, I appreciate the call. I'm going to just have to let you go before I yell at you
The Celtics are awesome. The Bruins are... They're not. I don't think they're going to contend for a Stanley Cup this year, but like they are in prime position to contend very much next year. Very much so.
Better than people expected.
Yeah.
And still have both young and old star power.
100%. David Pastrnak, he's played the league 10 years. He's still plenty young enough to have a bunch of good years ahead of him.
Marchand, Swayman, you hope is your goalie of the future.
You're going to lock him down for like 7 years this offseason.
Right.
Like, you are in a great spot.
Now, Jim Montgomery. We'll see.
Question mark.
I also don't get icky balooky about like coaches, really.
No.
I mean, I know we lived the Bill Belichick era, and the only reason everybody talks about Cora so much, in my opinion, is the team stinks.
Yeah.
If you had Manny and Ortiz and Schilling and Pedro, I think Cora would be like a role player. But because the talent stinks, it's like, what do we have that's good around here? Anybody? Oh, Cora's pretty good. People seem to like him. Let's talk about him.
I'm under the impression a lot of NHL coaches are just good, and it just kind of matters who's in the locker room. I mean, Bruce Cassidy, example A. He wasn't able to do quite as much with the Bruins, goes to the Vegas Golden Knights in his first season and wins a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
I kind of believe that the coaches are kind of irrelevant in three of the four major sports. Football, I actually believe coaches matter.
They very much matter.
At all levels, by the way.
Scheme and game plan matters
at all levels. By the way, tough blow for Wiggy's former employer. See the freshman transferred that he was building the program around?
No, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, going to one of those like prep schools or whatever and reclassifying to be a freshman again.
Hey. Was he going to like
high school football? The best 5 years of my life. But whatever, you know, if you can start for 5 years in high school, go
for
it. I am not with David. Like, this is not the darkest of dark times. The Patriots are picking in the top five. That's not ideal.
Tough.
You knew it was going to be dark times when you moved on from Brady and Belichick.
Yep.
Because I will go back to my favorite NBA analyst and yours. You know who that is, right?
Favorite NBA analyst. It's one of three guys. Is it Charles Barkley?
It's Charles Barkley.
Nice.
When he drunkly visited the Gillette Stadium locker room like 6-7 years ago and said quite succinctly to the reporters that gathered around him and were like, what's that on your breath, Charles? Y'all gonna effing suck when Belichick and Brady are gone.
True.
It is what it is. Yeah. It's the simple fact. We do. It is. Now, the Red Sox, we'll get into them a little bit later, because that list that came out today that I wasn't really totally aware of their exact stacking in payrolls to open the regular season, and the fact that the Boston Red Sox are closer to one end of the spectrum than they are the other end of the spectrum, and they're the Boston Red Sox, is embarrassing for the team. But we're going to stick with this draft talk rolling. We're going to go back to the phones one more time here for Tim in Lowell. Tim, what are your thoughts on the upcoming NFL draft and Drake May?
Good afternoon, boys. I got to apologize. I'm walking outside every now and then. A car's going to go by.
That happens.
But listen, guys, it's Shine. You blend in great in the morning, and you were very wise to pick a Lowell girl to be part of your show. It's working out well.
Thank you.
And we gotta get Andy his own show someday, too, by the way.
I like this call, Tim. This is a good call, Tim.
But listen, you want to build a good house, you got to have a good foundation. Mm. Nobody's going to care how fancy your jacuzzi room is if the house is falling down.
True.
This team needs offensive linemen. Or I'm otherwise, out. You're going to waste a pick on a quarterback. You're going to waste a pick on a receiver. It's like Matt Light said a week ago. These are fancy, shiny toys people want to see under the Christmas tree. But this team needs more than that. This draft is loaded with offensive linemen, according to all reports.
They are.
There's at least 10, 11 guys.
Yeah.
They need a franchise left tackle. Mike Reese said it. They need a franchise left tackle. If they can trade back and still get that guy, I'm all for it. Don't ruin a pick by bringing them in, a quarterback, and having them getting killed by the worst offensive line they've had in 30 years.
So here's the thing, Tim.
Thanks for the call, Tim.
The cool thing about this
draft.
You know
more about radio than drafting.
So the good thing about this draft, as you pointed out, loaded with offensive line talent. And do you know what that means, Tim? There's not going to be 10 guys taken in the first round. You happen to have the second pick in the second round. So theoretically, you could get a quarterback and a legitimate starting tackle with your first two picks.
Also, Tim, I just want to bring a point to the table here. I'm going to leave Shime out of this. I'm just going to have a discussion about teams and great quarterbacks and picking them high. Joe Burrow went to a team that sucked. Went to a team that had a bad offensive line.
Oh, they had
line.
This whole discussion. It was a meme. The entire draft process leading up to Ja'Marr Chase, it was a meme.
Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. Joe Burrow turned things around in Cincinnati. Patrick Mahomes went to the Super Bowl. You know why he lost? His line sucked. You know what game he was in?
The Super Bowl.
Offensive lines can be found. Offensive lines can be pieced together when the guy behind them is him.
And you wanna...
If you pick the right quarterback, if you pick the wrong one, it's like we said earlier, he'll get destroyed. I agree. But he's going to get destroyed sooner or later anyway. And if you give the wrong quarterback time, now he'll just throw picks. He won't get sacked. He doesn't have time. He's going to get sacked. Whatever. But if he's the wrong guy, he's the wrong guy. If he's the right guy, he'll figure it out because he's the right guy.
You look at teams like Kyle Shanahan has had over the last few years, great offensive lines. They've come up short. You look at the Detroit Lions last year. They built their franchise on trench play and toughness and that offensive line. And that offensive line kicks ass. They're awesome, but...
How awesome are they?
How awesome is Jared Goff becomes the question.
How many rings do they have?
It only matters how good your quarterback is.
It really does. And I am old school hardo guy who wants to pretend...
I love offensive line play.
Lines and fullbacks and linebackers and hitting is reality. But you know what reality is? It's so simple... And it's sad on some level. It's the quarterback. All levels. I go to Pop Warner games for my godson. You know what I see? You watch like 5 minutes. You go, hey, that other team's quarterback's good. You guys are porked. Like every level. If you're 9 years old, 19 years old, or 29 years old in football, if you have a quarterback, you got a good chance to win. If you don't, you got a good chance to lose.
We've talked about it on the Six Rings podcast draft previews. My favorite player outside of Drake May in this entire draft is Talise Fuaga, who is... a just badass offensive lineman. He wants to kick ass.
And guess what? Unless you pair him with a great quarterback, it'll be just a sad story of a guy who never won anything in the National Football League. 617-779-7937. We're talking Patriots. We're talking NFL draft. We're talking Drake May, who we love, but according to one texter, is a big no on Drake May. I don't know why. If you have love or hate for Drake May, give us a call or shoot us a text.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.